It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If this thing doesn't get right, it's Michael Jackson.
Who was the lead singer of the Beatles?
John Lennon.
John Lennon.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
I gotta tell you, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. Evan Giddings. Hey,
love you, Goo. I know he's listening.
You and I think have a little disagreement.
A little?
What?
Well, we disagree on a lot of things.
Well, you came in and said something, and I said, really? So Evan walked out of the studio, and I'm sure he bumped into some coworkers.
Is that something you don't do?
Occasionally. Occasionally. I don't talk to the coworkers, but you do. Anyway, Evan comes in and he goes, man.
I'm affable.
Man, Evan says, 49er fans are worried. They are really worried. And I said, you think? And he said, oh my God. They're worried about a lot of things right now. And you expressed some trepidation about how we're going to discuss the Niners this year, and you use the word, it could be toxic, how we talk about the Niners. I got to tell you, you know, I tend to monitor our text lines in the YouTube chat. I still think there's a lot of people out there that are saying or that think, hey, look, there's still nothing to worry about. But you think there's more people worried. I mean, we could try to take the temperature of 49er fans. I know Nahigi and I think our boss is on your side because, I mean, he was talking about how we should be excited right now. We should all be excited. You're going into a year, you got Super Bowl potential, and instead, everybody's concerned, everybody's worried, everybody's either mad at Ayuk or the 49ers. People want to know why Trent Williams is out, and that's all we've talked about. We do have one more thing to add there, though, now, is now we saw Purdy play three series in the preseason, and he didn't have a lot of help out there, and he didn't look great. And what does it mean? And I guess what you're saying is you're talking to a lot of fans that don't like where the 49ers are at right now.
So you do agree with me?
I think that most of the fans think that there's everything's fine right now. Now, talk to me in a week or two, probably two, but I, if I were a 49er fan, I'm not saying, oh boy, this thing is not going well at all. Like here's the way I look at it. I was reading Cal Kami from The Athletic, and he said something to the effect of, the 49ers have not reached the point of things going as bad as they could possibly go.
In other words,
it hasn't, you know, as of right now, it hasn't been a failure. Or he said, it hasn't been worst case scenario. And I kind of agree with that. But there's another school of thought that you think is out there that people think the year's already setting up for a struggle.
Well, everything could have gone perfect this offseason for the Niners.
Like, right.
Let's just hypothetically say Brandon Ayuk is under lock and key. He's got his money. He's happy. This happened in April. Trent Williams gets his guaranteed money when the whispers came out 2 months ago.
All right.
Christian McCaffrey obviously got paid. Everyone's healthy. You know, you look like you're getting Dre Greenlaw back at a specific point in the midseason. Hufanga is going to be back by week one or week two. Again, this is all hypothetical.
Right.
Everything aligns for the 49ers. If even all of that happened, I do think that it's really hard to bounce back after losing in the fashion that they did in the biggest game of the year. So they would have that working against them. You couple that now with all the different things that we're discussing. That's why I feel a lot of worry, at least from the Niner fans that I talk to. And if you're feeling excited, if you're feeling confident, if you feel like this is lining up to be a great season, I'd be happy to talk to you about it. And I want to hear from you. But I just feel like a lot of the people that I discuss things with, and yesterday was a microcosm to me, and it was a glimpse into what I think we're going to hear a lot of this year, which is worrying about the future instead of worrying about the present. And feeling like maybe because it's the last best chance and, you know, the Niners have been so good for so long that there's just this expectation to be back in the biggest moment. And really the only question they have to answer is, can you win a Super Bowl? Because of that, I do think that there is more worry right now from people out there than confidence. Because they've been confident before. They felt confident in 19. Fans have felt confident maybe even 2021. Fans have felt confident, you know, last season, obviously. They felt confident before Brock hurt his arm in Philly 2 years ago. They've felt confidence. They've felt that excitement. And then at the end of the day, they've been let down. And so, naturally, you don't want to build yourself back up. You don't want to feel the same way just to be hurt again. And so that's why I sense a lot of worry, in addition to all of the different off-season storylines that have not been about football.
Do you think they're headed for a tough start, whatever that means? Let's say the first four games because of anything that's happened so far.
Yes. Yeah, I do.
You do?
Yeah. I think it's going to be difficult. Now, could they go, you know, 3-4-1? Sure. I mean, I think they should beat the Jets on Monday night. You know, if you want to play the scheduled game, I think there's some favorable matchups in the first quarter of the season. Or I guess technically not a quarter anymore, it's 17 games. But the first four or five games of the year, I think they have a favorable, you know, slew of games. But I just think it's going to be hard with the fact that they are going to have BA without a full training camp. I still think he's going to be there. I think Trent Williams is going to be signed, but he's not going to be probably in the best shape. He's going to have to play himself into shape. I think that this is a team defensively that does not have as much talent as it did last year. I think that it might take a little while for the new defensive coordinator and the new scheme to hit the ground and find consistency. The fact that Hufanga is probably not going to be there, the fact that Greenlaw is probably going to be out, I think will hurt them defensively. So if they start out well, like they did last year, for example, that to me would be really, really impressive. I just think a lot is stacked against them at the beginning of the year.
888-957-9570 is the number. 49er fans, are you? How worried are you? Like, what would you be worried about? If you're a 49er fan, what's your biggest worry right now? Because for me, it still isn't Ayuk and Trent Williams. To me, I guess the biggest issue would be how banged up they are early in the year. But I anticipate a lot of this is just precaution, and that when they play the Jets, everybody's going to be there. But it hasn't started great, and obviously they had to cancel some joint practices. But if you're a 49er fan, what is worrying you if you're one of the people that Evan's talking about?
Well, real quick before you get to the calls, I also think a reason is because of what Shanahan did yesterday.
Oh.
Like, the preseason game itself doesn't mean much to me. You know, the Niners won, they lost the week before or the game before. The results don't matter that much. But what Shanahan did, I just think has people... Again, it's like, all right, Shanahan, you know, kind of messed this up in a postseason game. Or they feel like he didn't make the right call in a particular position. Kyle Shanahan has done things that worry fans. And yesterday, again, it's a preseason game. But I still can't figure out why he would have played Purdy without anybody else around him. And I don't think it's because he's trying to test him. I think it's probably something simplistic to him that we are, you know, too feeble to comprehend in his mind. But when fans see that, they say, ah, well, Shanahan's doing it again. Like, what? Why is he putting Purdy out there without any protection? Why is he putting Purdy out there with any help? If Purdy is indeed our quarterback of the future, he just threw him to the wolves.
Well, what if his rationale was, do you think there's anything to this? He purposely played. He knew he was playing without Ayuk. He knew he was playing without Trent Williams and just said, you know what? Let's let everybody look and see what we look like without Ayuk and Trent Williams. And if those guys come into camp in the next 2 or 3 days, maybe that's what he was going for, to show everybody how much they need those guys. Not to hurt Purdy, but just to
highlight how much those guys are missed.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, ordinarily I wouldn't buy it, but I can't think of any other reason why he'd do it. Let's go to 888-957-9570. Let's go to 211 Steel Reserve in Fremont. What's up, 211?
What's up, Simons? What's up, my guy, man? Hey. Just sitting here chilling.
Yeah.
Told you I was back. I told you I'd be back, man.
Yes, sir.
Hey, so check this out. You know, I always try to keep it real with the Niners, even though I will say this, Simon. I haven't called back in a minute since my team moved. I don't know about any other. I mean, I don't like them. I still dislike them, but it ain't the same, brother. I don't know if it's just me or what, but that rivalry with the Niners and the Raiders, to me, ain't no more. I don't even really care no more, but my brother makes me hate them. It reminds me, you know, to hate them. So, because he's a huge Niner fan. But check this out. I can see why Niner fans are kind of in a panic. You know, you've been so close for so long. It's like that window does start to close eventually. I'm not saying it is closing, but I just think the more chances you get that close, the harder it gets. And then as far as Purdy playing, I don't know about that either, man. And the injuries, I mean, this team has a lot of veterans that are highly skilled. I can see why a lot of them aren't in there, and I think they'll all be there when they play the Jets. I think they're going to be all right. But then again, I could see, like I said, another reason I think Niner fans might be in a panic is that Super Bowl hangover is a real thing, brother, and I don't know how that's going to come through, especially with Ayuk doing his thing, and then you have Williams not in there. I mean, I see where their panic is at, but take it from me, and I hate to say it, I think they're going to be all right. Hey, at least, look at us, man. Look at our quarterback situation. At the same time, I called you guys a while back, and I told you with the Warriors, enjoy the now. Don't worry about the later, and look how quick it goes. Niners fans, I can't stand y'all, but enjoy the now. Worry about the later when it comes.
Good stuff, 211. Yeah, no need to freak out if you're a 49er fan, according to 211.
Well, you want Dobbs.
No, I don't. Stop.
What? You said he looked incredible yesterday.
He looked good.
He looked aerodynamic.
He looked good. He looked good. Stop, though.
I mean, that was their biggest signing of the offseason. That's what you said.
No. It was Leonard Floyd.
It's a good call.
Mm-hmm. Dave in Fresno. What's up, Dave? How you doing, man?
Hey. My guy, he just took the words right out of my mouth. Saying that, you know, people are kind of worried about Shanahan yesterday, and, you know, like, yeah, he gets called a genius a lot, but yesterday was the opposite of genius, you know, and that's my issue, is that when it comes to Shanahan, like, he's put on this pedestal, but he does these, like, weird bonehead things, you know, that people try to explain because they like him or they like the success that the team has had and all the NFC championships. But to play Brock Purdy yesterday with Trent Taylor and Chris Conley, two guys who will probably never throw to at all at any point in the season, you know, what was the rhyme or reason for that? I get it. He didn't get hurt. Nothing happened. But that's just, if you're a genius, you don't do things like that. Now, if you want him out there with Cal Newton and Danny Gray, who, you know, they offer something to the offense that even your starters don't have with the speed, you want to get some rest with them, okay, like, I can see that. But you have him starting a game with Trent Taylor and Conley and no Trent Williams and no Kittle, no McCaffrey, I know he's hurt, like, nobody. Like, Kelce and Mahomes play, you think the Texans would have C.J. Stroud out there without Diggs, and he was out there with all his weapons. Every starting quarterback had all their starters with him that play, except for Brock Purdy. Now, you know, if you're going to call this guy a genius, how do you have these bonehead situations? And this is not the only bonehead situation, like my friend just said before. There's other little things that you can call out, but again, he's called a genius, but we have these situations, so... Yeah, I get nothing happened yesterday, but nothing about yesterday made sense to me.
Fair enough. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate the call. I wonder how many 49er fans are like... When you started watching that game yesterday, Evan, did it run through your head, why is this guy playing, Brock Purdy?
Yeah, when I saw the other 10 guys on the field with him.
So that's the number one issue that you had yesterday, wanting to know why Brock Purdy played in that game.
Especially after the way that he looked. I mean, it was clear that he was never comfortable, and he wasn't allowed to be comfortable. I think, the first play of two of the series, you know, was a swing route or, you know, a little pitch to the running back who had nowhere to go. Brock Purdy was playing from behind the sticks pretty much every single drive, and was never put in a position to succeed. And I don't know, maybe Kyle Shanahan wanted to see, you know, if Brock Purdy could kind of turn water into wine. I don't know. I also think that Brock wanted to play. And to be fair, three series is not really that much, which is why I wonder why he played in the first place. Just to get some live bullets, just to kind of feel the atmosphere of a live football game again. He didn't want the first game of the regular season to be the first time that the bullets are flying for Brock Purdy. And if that's the case, I guess I would ask the same question with, you know, Deebo Samuel. Or I would ask the same question about George Kittle. And those are veteran players. But to the caller's point, Mahomes played. Josh Allen played for the Buffalo Bills, and he was playing with a couple of his new wide receivers, Curtis Samuel, for example. Like, if there is a reason that you want your quarterback on the field, and there are things that you feel like he needs to work on, well, then I feel like he should also be doing them for the few amount of plays that he actually is in pads with the guys that he's going to be playing with.
Well, Kyle Shanahan was asked about how Brock Purdy played and then why Brock Purdy played. I don't know how insightful they are, but how does he think, and we're talking about Kyle Shanahan here, how does he think Brock Purdy played yesterday?
I mean, there were two frustrating drives, just three and out. I don't think there was much there when he had it. I had a chance to make a big play on a keeper going back across, but not enough plays. You know, there weren't really any good looks for him either.
All right, so it sounds to me like he doesn't think he played well, but he didn't have a lot of chances either.
No, I mean, he didn't move the ball.
No, I know.
Well, the Niners didn't move the ball, I should say.
But what I gathered from Shanahan is he wasn't putting the onus on the bad game totally on Brock Purdy's shoulders.
But that's kind of my point. I don't think Shanahan took much away from that game.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree. Why did he play Brock Purdy yesterday?
Yeah, you always think about that stuff. If we thought it was an issue, we wouldn't have done it. We were good with the guys out there. You know, Brock wouldn't have gone. Probably wouldn't have played Jake. You know, definitely would have had Colton and Jalen go as long, but we felt good with the group.
So there it is. That's why he played. But does that really answer the question why he played?
Not really.
No,
I mean, look, I'll say this. At least I'm glad that our discussion here on Monday is about football as opposed to holdouts or hold-ins. But because of those holdouts or hold-ins, we're also wondering what Brock Purdy is going to look like if those guys aren't around, whether it's now or in the future. And I just think yesterday was a glimpse into the conversation that people are going to be having about Purdy, both locally and nationally, for the entire season, which is, we saw him without these guys. He didn't look as good. Or when those guys are eventually back, and I believe they will be, well, look how much better he looks with them. He's not going to have them in the future because you're going to have to pay him. There's going to be all of these things that people are worried about, and that's the sense that I'm kind of feeling, that I'm gleaning off of that game, is that there's more worry surrounding this team than excitement.
I'm just wondering why he wouldn't at least give Purdy two or three series with Kittle, with Deebo, just a couple, just to see. Because I agree. What did you really find out yesterday? Nothing, really, other than this team doesn't look nearly as good without, surprise, surprise, its best offensive players.
And again, they didn't practice, they didn't have joint practices against the Saints because they didn't have enough bodies,
right?
And the risk wasn't worth the reward, according to Shanahan. So that could also be why the Kittles, the Debos, the Juwans weren't on the field. But then I also have to ask the question, Kyle, what's the most important position in sports? It's your quarterback.
Yeah.
So if you can't afford to lose Kittle and you can't afford for Debo to get nicked up, how come you can afford for Purdy to get nicked up?
Let's go to Michael in Palo Alto. What's up, Michael? How you doing, man? What do you think Kyle was up to yesterday?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
You know, I'm a Kyle Shanahan fan, but I thought it was an inept decision by Coach Shanahan to put your quarterback who, you know, not only has some injury history, but also has the tendency to extend plays and never give up on a play. To have him out there running around with second, third string guys, maybe even guys who won't even make the team, I thought it was a very poor decision. And the conversation would have been a lot different today if something happened to Purdy. We all know that. So I don't see the risk being worth anything. And I will say this just about kind of what you guys were saying, you know, the deck kind of stacked against the 49ers, especially to start off the season.
Right.
Purdy is scheduled to make, what, 40, 50 million bucks this season or during his extension season. I'm going to say this, man. You're going to find out how much Brock is worth this season. And if he can overcome some of these obstacles that are going to, I think, be facing the 49ers, especially with, you know, some of these holdouts, and if he can progress them into a wild card or a divisional round or even a conference championship, I think he's going to be worth that money. But with the kind of the deck stacked against him, I think it might be a little bit tougher. But we're going to see how much he's worth.
Yeah, we are. Thank you for the call, Michael. Appreciate it.
And we don't have a choice. That's the other part. I mean, you can't, I guess you could technically kick it down the line. You know, you could say, hey, seventh round pick, you're going to play on your last year of your rookie deal. But I personally don't see that happening.
Let's go to Kevin in San Francisco. Hey, Kevin, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Going well.
Good.
So I wanted to talk about Brock Purdy's performance yesterday. I just think that it was kind of a slow start. You know, sometimes he starts off slow. Plus, also, didn't he put on some weight? Didn't he start working out?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and he might be one of those kind of players that just want to get hit, want to get that feeling, you know? So he just didn't have long enough. I mean, wasn't it one of the playoff games that we had where he didn't start playing well until the second half?
Yeah.
So, you know, who knows? So it could be, and I think it's going to be saying that we're going to make it back to the Super Bowl. What, can we just make the playoffs first? Okay.
Yeah.
And I just want to see some 49er ball. I mean, I don't care if he's the best, I just want to see some good 49er football. I don't want to try and think about all the way to the playoffs or the Super Bowl. I want to see each game and see us perform well.
Well said. I'm with Kevin. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Go out and beat the Jets. Go 1-0. Then next week, beat the who they play second week?
Second week, they got Minnesota.
Oh, boy. Oh, well, that'll be an easy win.
Well, that'll be a Dobbs revenge game, right?
Well, and it'll also, they get to face the Vikings without Kirk Cousins.
Or a Sam Darnold revenge game.
Yeah. 888-957-9570 is the number. 49ers win yesterday. Brock Purdy starts, plays three series. Obviously, we're talking about how he looked, which wasn't very good. Is it even unfair? Was it unfair to even expect Purdy to play well yesterday, given who his teammates were? 888-957-9570. Download the Odyssey app directly from our QR code on both YouTube and Twitch. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Coming up in a half hour, Matt Barrows of The Athletic. He covers the Niners. He's going to get some give us some answers on what Kyle Shanahan was thinking yesterday.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. you get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson today. Goo is on his way to Greensboro, North Carolina.
I think he's there.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
That's right. He took a red eye last night.
Checked in. He's 3 hours ahead.
Okay.
Odyssey app.
Yeah, he's in for a grueling week.
How so?
He's got to drop his daughter off at college, and then he's got to come home, and he realizes all the kids are grown now. Trust me, it's a gut punch, Evan.
But he's done it before, punch. Though.
Yeah, but
this isn't the first time Milan's going to college.
No, but it hurts.
Every time?
Yes. Yes, it does. It absolutely does.
How are you doing? Talk to me, Steiny.
It's a lonely house. There's not a lot of noise anymore. The kids are gone.
Well, there is a draft. It's a little cold where you're at.
What did I say?
You said it's lonely.
It
I feel
is.
Like when I think of a lonely house, it's kind of creaky. It's a little chilly.
Yeah, it's.
You can feel it in your bones.
Well, you know what to expect because it's coming. All you got to do is find a girl first, a gal, a woman.
My bones do feel creaky. I just turned 30.
888-957-9570 is the number, and it seems to me that the big takeaway from yesterday's game is twofold. One is, I think the big story is, yeah, Brock Purdy didn't look good. But I think the second biggest story is, well, why did he play Brock Purdy in the first place? And the more I think about it, the more I think it was a little puzzling why he would do that. And Evan, I got to tell you, I'm the guy who usually when it comes to these kind of things says, you know, these guys are pro athletes. You can't keep them in bubble wrap forever. They're not porcelain dolls. If they can play and they're healthy, they play. And that's normally how I am. I do think it was strange that Purdy played, but he played without his core guys. And what exactly was Kyle Shanahan looking for? Or what was his thought process when he did that? That's what I hope Matt Barrows can answer at 12 o'clock when he joins us from The Athletic. But I have a feeling he's not going to really be able to have a definitive answer either, because he's going to have to try to interpret what Kyle Shanahan said, which was, yeah, no, we felt good with the team around him.
Well, do you have Brock Purdy's answer to why he played? Because I believe the media checked in with him, and it was mainly about why he came up for the third series. But do you have that cut?
I sure do. Let's take a listen.
I mean, like I said, it's part of the game and stuff. So for me, I'm not out there freaking out about, oh my gosh, I'm not trying to get hit. That's not football. You know, if I'm stepping out in the field, then obviously I know what's at stake in terms of it's a physical game. It's fast. Things happen. You're going to get hit. You're going to fall to the ground. So I know that. But at the same time, am I going to do some crazy scrambling and you know, make up some stuff to try to move the ball? So you got to be smart in that sense. So,
all right, he answered it about how you'd expect Brock Purdy to answer it.
Well, but he did have a play where he was scrambling and moving around crazy and tried to throw the ball up. In fact, it almost got picked.
Right, and we've seen those throws before from him.
Yeah, I mean, we've also seen plenty of incredible throws that make up for some of the, you know, lack of judgment, so to speak. But again, why did he play? Why did he come out for the third series? And I don't think there's one answer, because with Kyle Shanahan, there never appears to be just one simple thing.
Right.
Right. It's, oh, well, you know, we were considering this and you know, you got to think about more than just a year from now. And, you know, we're trying to get a good look at this guy and Brock working with this dude and this offensive line. And that's why I can't figure it out. And when specifically like a head coach or a manager makes a choice, Steiny, I don't know about you, but I'd like to think that they know more about it than we do. And I'm trying to figure out, okay, he's got a plan. There's something there. I just need to figure it out for myself. But all the questions I have about it, I don't think are clearly answered or don't have clear answers, because if Purdy was out there because he wanted to be, I get that. But at some point, okay, well, does he have any protection? Well, no, because his left tackle's not in pads, and we're also trying to get some looks for potential backups and guys that are going to have to play at some point this year. So he doesn't have proper protection, right? Well, that's red flag number one. Okay, well, at the very least, you know, Brock Purdy's a quick decision maker, so maybe we can get the ball out really fast, and that's a way we can protect him.
Right.
Okay, well, he doesn't have his ones out there that are receivers that can get open quickly. Okay, so that's red flag number two. And then after seeing that for a couple of series, we're still going to go out there and throw him out for a third time. Why? Was that the plan? Perhaps. Might have just been two series. I don't know, maybe he wanted him to play for a full quarter, and it didn't get to that point because he didn't have a chance to sustain enough drives. I can't figure out why Kyle Shanahan wanted Brock Purdy to play when virtually no other starting caliber teammates of his were on the field. And the only guys that I think are starting caliber that were on the field yesterday on the offensive side are guys that are competing potentially for starting jobs. I'm not looking at anybody, maybe outside of Pooney, but there's nobody out there that is going to definitively stand pat and be the guy at their position. Right?
I mean, it all makes sense, to tell you the truth, but none of it makes sense either. Purdy played to see what he can do without his stars, says the 415. Another 650. Kyle wants to see how he looks without a lot of talent around him. That seems to be what some people are saying.
He wanted to test him, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a logical explanation. I don't know why I'm just not buying it, though, but it could be the reason. Let's go to David in Napa, hear what he thinks. What's up, David? How you doing, man?
Well, thank you.
Sure.
You know, I think it's a possibility that Shanahan and Lynch got together and said, let's do just what they did, put him out there with, you know, without his all pros around him, see how he did. He didn't look very well at all. He got hit a few times.
Right.
And when they get the contract negotiation, it's going to be like, hey, Brock, you know, how do you feel? You want to be the lone guy out there, or you want to be a team guy and take a team-friendly type of contract? You know, I mean, I think that they might, that if they weren't thinking that, that could be subtext from the performance.
Interesting. Interesting. Thanks, David. Appreciate the call. You know, we talk as though there's not a, you know, what's he going to get paid? 40, 45, 50, 55? Sometimes I think we don't appreciate the difference between or among all those numbers. Maybe that's what we're looking at, that they want to try to get this guy under contract in a year from now at 40-ish rather than 55-ish or something like that.
Well, and this is something that you were on, and I think it's a good point. You brought it up last year that if Purdy makes, even if he makes, I don't know, 40,
right,
he will go from making $1 million to $40 million or to 50 or 60 or whatever it is. That will be the largest leap for a quarterback, for a player in NFL history.
Probably, yeah.
So people are just trying to, I think, figure out, right, is this, if we're going to have to pay this guy, basically, it's unfair, but 40 times more than what we're paying him right now, are we going to get commensurate production? And the answer is probably not.
Right.
Because I don't see how much better he can get. Like, I think he can get better, but is he going to be twice or three times as good as he was last year? I just think that's a lot to ask. And so people are, again, worried that the Niners are not going to recoup on their investment when it looks like they are, and they've already told us that they are going to invest in this guy. And so is he the dude? That's the question every single week on Monday. He goes for four touchdowns. He shreds, you know, the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday night like he did last night. or last season. All right, Monday morning, he's the man. He's going to get paid. Well, then he goes out and has a Cleveland Browns game. Throws the, you know, throws a couple picks against Minnesota. Throws the pick to end the game. On Monday, well, he's not the man. Well, look at this. You know, is Trent Williams there? Is B.A. there? Is Debo Samuel nicked up? Is George Kittle healthy? Is Christian McCaffrey going to have another 400-touch MVP caliber season? If all those things don't, is Brock Purdy going to be able to, you know, lift up this team, to put this team on his back? Is his defense going to be as good? All these questions, and yes, there are ifs and buts and all the rest, but those are the questions that are going to kind of, I don't know, light this conversation, and it's going to be gasoline-fueled, I think, the entire year. Every single week, we are going to come in and wonder if this guy is the man. Because the one thing the Niners haven't seemingly had under Kyle Shanahan is a quarterback we can trust.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that and we're going to have to find out how it all shakes out, but the issue, I think, is that it's even if you get him at 40 or 45, yes, it may be a little bit of a bargain, but the problem is he's making $1 million right now. So his raise is going to be astronomical. If he were a normal quarterback on, let's say, his rookie deal, he'd already be making, you know, $12, $15 million if he were a first-round pick, and they would be gearing up to pay him. But it's just so dramatic what his raise is going to be, that it's going to impact his team more than it will impact other teams who have quarterbacks who are on their rookie deals at more money, because this raise is going to be far more drastic, so it's going to have more implications on what they can do with the rest of their roster. Victor's in San Jose. Hey, Victor, what's going on, man?
Yeah, I had the same take as that previous caller. You know what? If you had Mahomes in there with the second, third string, his production would have been a lot better. It's like, obviously, we know it's a contract move. And if he does prove it, there's two things. You're either going to get the guy and pay him, but if he didn't, say, look, Brock, you're good, but you're not worth that $50, $60 million. We need to slot you at $40, $37, $39 million and keep it at that, because we need to pay other players. Like, if they do that and they see, all right, we can get Brock at 40, 45, then they could say, maybe we can work a deal out with Ayuk now, because we know we're not going to spend that much on top of next year on Purdy. Because they need to get Ayuk in. So there's a ploy in there with money-wise, you know what I mean? So they're trying to see what the top is on Purdy and see if we can squeeze in Ayuk next year right now.
Yeah, I don't know, because here's the way I look at that, and thanks, Victor, for the call. I appreciate it. Are they really going to... Okay, so he didn't play with any of the starters yesterday, and he looked bad. All right. Let's say he plays next week or doesn't play next week, but he's only going to play a series or two, and he doesn't look great again. Maybe Ayuk's still not playing, and Trent Williams is back. All right. Now we get to the opener, and lo and behold, Trent Williams is there, and Ayuk's there, and here's Debo and McCaffrey, and let's say all systems are go. Is it really going to matter if he has a good year and the team's healthy, that, well, remember that preseason game when he didn't have stars? That's still who he really is. I don't think we're going to look back on that game as a way to keep his price down if he has a good year. Like, if he has a good year with all his weapons, I think he's going to get paid, and they'll have to figure out at what cost. But I don't think... It seems far-fetched to me that they would play Purdy yesterday anticipating he'd struggle, so as to send him a message that it'll be a lot harder when he gets paid. That to me, it's a stretch.
Well, it is reminiscent to me of the conversation we were having about Purdy after his, what, four-interception practice or three-interception practice. You know, it's, oh, well, you know, Purdy's out there and he doesn't have Ayuk, or, you know, Kittle's not practicing today, and he's throwing to guys that he's going to have to throw to in a couple of years. How's he going to look?
Right.
You know, until it happens in a regular season game, I will reserve judgment. It's really hard for me to watch three series yesterday with Brock Purdy playing with a makeshift offensive line, some rookies, And also against the Saints ones, by the way.
Right.
Their number one defense, because that's just the way that they do things. They play their starters in New Orleans. It's hard for me to pass judgment on him. If there's anybody I'm going to judge yesterday, it's Kyle Shanahan. Because I don't know why he would do that. And to me, Brock Purdy saying, I want to play, I'm sorry, that's not good enough of an excuse. If Kyle Shanahan went to the podium and said, well, my 24-year-old quarterback who's in his second full year in the NFL said he wanted to play, so I put him in. Okay, that's why you're the head coach. You don't listen. Brock Purdy doesn't call the plays. You call the plays. You decide who's on the 54-man roster, Kyle. We hear all the time about how you have personnel decisions. Okay, if you are the czar of the San Francisco 49ers, your starting quarterback telling you that he would like to get a couple of reps in game one of the preseason and he would like to play, that's not good enough for me. I don't want to hear that. You should be the one that makes the choice.
You think Guru would have been hot about this?
Yes. I may or may not have talked to him.
I think you're... Oh, delinquent? Did he say they were... Oh, no, he... What does he like to use? Oh, it's irresponsible. It's unprofessional. It's embarrassing. One other word he loves to use. I can't remember what it is. But yeah, he would have been...
Despicable.
He would have been hot.
Well, I wouldn't use words as harsh as those, but it is confusing. Is that fair?
Yeah, I would like to hear a better...
I don't think
better...
it's concerning. I don't think it's damning. I don't think that Kyle Shanahan is never going to win a Super Bowl because he played Brock Purdy in week two of the preseason. But it is confusing to me when you consider everything else around Brock Purdy.
We're never going to get the answer. And I think the reason we're not going to get the answer is because he's going to say exactly what he said. Well, you know, Brock's our quarterback. He's healthy. He's still a young quarterback, and he needs as many reps as possible, whether it's with the starters or the backups. Great opportunity for him to quarterback the team that's a little bit shorthanded. I do not think it really crosses negligent. That's what he would have called. That's what Guru would have said. Thank you, 415.
Negligent.
But I don't think Kyle Shanahan doesn't go into games making decisions out of fear that a guy might get hurt. He just doesn't. And I bet you he thought about it, and it was nothing more than Purdy's healthy. Maybe I haven't really seen, I haven't liked all what I've seen in training camp, so I'm going to get him out there just to run around a little bit. And I don't think Kyle's first thought is, well, what if he gets hurt? Because Kyle's a football coach, and injuries are part of the game, and that's an inherent risk of playing a football player, and he doesn't think of it as any more risky than any other game.
Well, I'll tell you what he did do.
What?
Is he just gave Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams more ammunition.
He might have done that.
If they want more money, or whatever their list of demands is. It could be guaranteed. It could be they don't want to be here because they don't want to go through the grueling, training camp practices. But whatever their aims are and why they're holding out and holding in, Kyle Shanahan didn't bring the Niners any closer to getting them to give in.
Well, I also think that if I'm Kittle and Debo, maybe I start holding out now, too. Why not? Everybody gets paid here in San Francisco.
Well, they have gotten paid.
Yeah, but...
And next offseason.
So is Trent Williams, but it's not stopping him. Brian and Hayward. What's up, Brian? How you doing, man?
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hey.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Listening to the conversation the last few minutes, it kind of put me through growing up with sports, watching it, being a fan. I started with basketball and the Warriors. And I slowly started making my way into football, the NFL, and then finally baseball. And when I started to really get into baseball, I noticed this process with the younger players, arbitration.
Okay.
And after seeing it for years, I realized it's in every sport to some degree, not just in baseball. But it's also a type of strategy that most employers use in a way to negotiate down the salaries of their employees. And, I mean, when I look at this situation, it's exactly that with Brock playing yesterday with all you know, non-starters or not the first team. They're kind of trying to gauge how effective he can be when he's in a difficult situation. And I think what's more important is they're trying to put it in reality for Brock himself, because that's what it's going to come down to when they start negotiating contracts. Hey, you know, evaluate your own performance.
Right.
Do you consider yourself this type of guy? Do you consider yourself that type of guy? And then they go from there. But with an organization like the Niners, you know, and their history, I don't think they're going to bend over backwards to do right by their players, but they have showed that they don't go out of their way to screw their players. So I look at it as, hey, let the chips unfold the way they do. And they're taking a big risk, which is a calculated risk in terms of how he's going to see himself in a year from now, whether he's a team guy or he's a me guy. And, you know, my money's on team guy, but we'll see what happens when they get down to the negotiations. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Yeah, appreciate it. God, that just it's hard for me to envision Brock Purdy going through the regular season with his team and then them coming to the table and saying, well, don't forget what you were in that preseason game back in August when you didn't have any weapons. That's kind of who we've got to that's how we have to evaluate you, because that's going to be more realistic of the kind of team you're quarterbacking in a year. I get it, but boy, I don't know. How is that game yesterday going to be at all factor into what he makes next year?
It's not.
Right.
Or it shouldn't.
Right.
If it is, we got bigger issues in San Francisco.
Yeah.
If they're using a preseason game to evaluate someone. Because how I would evaluate Brock Purdy is by these numbers. 21 starts, 17-4, 68.7 completion percentage, 250 yards a game, a 111 quarterback rating, and a QBR of about 70.
Okay.
Those are his numbers.
Right.
That's not what he did yesterday, and that's what he's done the last year and a half. I'm more inclined to believe that he'll be closer to those numbers than the ones he was yesterday.
Yeah, I would wholeheartedly agree with that. Ryan's in San Bernardino. What's going on, Ryan? How you doing?
Hello, gentlemen. How you guys doing, man?
Doing well.
Awesome.
That's fantastic. I just got a question from watching the game last night. So pretend Brock Purdy never happened, and that number 5 on Josh Dobbs actually said Trey Lance. Would the 49er fan base think that Trey Lance was developing into our franchise quarterback if that was Trey Lance last night? Because I kind of feel like, yeah, I would be cool with Trey Lance if he could at least do that, but he couldn't.
Evan?
Well, I know we can maybe run it by Matt Barrows on the other side, but if If he did what Josh Dobbs did yesterday, I do think people would be happy about Trey Lance.
But I think that what the 49ers found out is he's not as athletic as Dobbs.
Yeah, I also don't think he could make those plays. But unfortunately, we'll never know.
Well, he may start making those plays in Dallas, right?
Oh, well, they're going to move off of Prescott, according to Goo. Dak's whack.
All right, 888-957-9570 is the number if you want to jump in here. We got Matt Barrows, though, on the other side. If you want to hang in there through that interview, you're more than welcome to do that. Matt Barrows of The Athletic, when it comes to the San Francisco 49ers, he is essentially the man in the know. And that's why we're talking to him. And we're going to ask him why Kyle Shanahan elected to play Brock Purdy yesterday against the Saints without any other starters. What's coming up on the game is presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. That segment brought to you by Chilton Auto Body.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.